Good morning, church.
Morning.
It feels like you're almost invading something to suddenly stand up. When God's been saying something and he's moving and acting in a way, yeah, you can almost feel like you're invading something, can't you? I'll let you know, I had a mighty battle with myself this week. And the battle I had with myself was I already knew and I determined where I was going. And then the Holy Ghost changed. And then I had an argument with the Holy Ghost as to, have I had too much cheese? What is it? Because I was sure what you wanted to say. And even up till 10 o'clock last night, where I'm still formulating and changing direction, a little bit kicking and screaming, I must admit, because I was already prepared where I want to go. This morning defines why he changed. He didn't change, I changed. Is that all right? So I'm going to pick up on something this morning that I'm going to look at your happy faces and I'm going to turn around and say, we're going to say, don't go down to Egypt, part two. Is that all right? Now, as Paul so cheerfully said last week, Phil brought a really happy word the week before, a word of hope and a word of declaration. Guess what? It is a word of hope and it is a word of declaration. We might not like how it came. We might not like where it was going. But the truth is, when we stand in the vanguard and God from his throne room releases the prophetic word to us, how blessed are we? I'll say it again. How blessed are we? Some people would be encouraged this morning and others when someone says the sand of time is running out because it brings us to our own mortality and our own sell-by date. You might still be here, but your sell-by date has gone by because God was looking for someone and he couldn't find you, so he found someone else. And I am instantly reminded, just as a side note, of Reinhard Bonnke when he told the story of where he was saying one day and got a little bit above himself, how God was moving, touching the nations, that Africa must be saved, that revival was coming. And God said to him, you were my third choice. There was two guys who said no. You were number three. So let not the sand of time pass us by. Now, I'm going to skip through some things because I need to skip through some things to get to where we're going to go. But I want to set the context. As I said, we said, don't go down to Egypt. We were looking at some put their trust in horses and chariots, that the seasons and time are changing. Remember that. And we finished off with a very strong verse. But before that, we set the tone, which was, so we have the prophetic word made more clear, to which you would do well to pay attention. Pay attention when God speaks. Instantly this morning, when Mary brought the word in tongues and then Shirley brought an interpretation, which was then extended by Pastor Tony, when she said about bring your cup to the water to drink, instantly my spirit man went to Gideon. How will you drink? Because how you drink will be determined whether you are of use or not. Yes. It wasn't that you drank. It was the position you took when you drank. Both were refreshed, but 300 were the men who could be moved forward for the act of where God was moving. The thousands who drank a different way had set themselves differently, but that's for another day. So when the prophetic word comes, do well to pay attention. Amen. We finish with Jeremiah 42:16 that says, the war you fear will seize the land of Egypt. The famine you dread will hunt you down. And you will die there. If we do not set in place our hearts in the right place, in the right season, when we chase options which we believe are good for us at the time, it will be our undoing. Oh, thank you for your underwhelming response on that one. The choices that we make, there are chances, choices, and consequences. There will always be a consequence from the chances and the choices that we're presented with. But we move towards it. The message that I said we carry is a message of hope, and it's not of despair. For to be forewarned is to be forearmed. We saw from Acts when Agabus brought the prophetic word saying, there will be a famine across the entire Roman rule and land in the time of Claudius. And so make preparation. There was a forewarning that something was coming, and the church would face the same famine that the people would face. We will delude ourselves if we believe that as the world's economic system changes, it doesn't affect us. It does affect us, but how we come through the other side will depend how we're positioned. Your job will be squeezed. Your finance will be squeezed. Your environment will be squeezed. Your opportunities will be squeezed. But God does not change. We find out where we find out. Now, the warning is so that we can make adequate provision in our lives. And I gave three illustrations. On this, we, as I said, we can skip through. Said that when famine was brought to Egypt, Joseph had the ability to bring in, so he gathered. He had the ability to store, and then he had the wisdom to distribute. He wasn't the man who interpreted dreams. He was the man who had the solution to a nation's problem. If you and I can connect to the God of the source, the solution will follow. We're just chasing the stuff. But when you and I can be the man and woman that brings a solution to our environment, something is different. When the warning and the word came to Noah that there would be a flood, it came ahead of time. Scripture said, I think it said it took 100 years or more than 100 years to build the ark. The word didn't come the day before, and we read the scripture that Noah was sat in a tin bath with his cat and his photo album, hoping he was going to get through. He was told advanced time so that he could make the adequate provision. When the word came about there being famine in Rome, Paul and the people took up an offering to support the people who lived in Jerusalem. Adequate provision and time was being made known. As we said, some trust in horses, some trust in chariot. But where will your hope and my hope be in the days to come? I was moved this week just by the thought of the wise and foolish virgins. It's there for a reason. It's not a story to fill the pages and something that's just great for when we're in kids' church. There was half who were found with an empty lamp. And it's so easy to produce a people in the modern day body of Christ that have faith in the generosity and goodness of other people's generosity and faith. I'm believing with my empty lamp, that should my knees arise, I can tap into the urgent needs fund of the spiritual overflow. That when my time comes and I was found empty when I should have filled my lamp, I miss my opportunity because I didn't pay attention. And I'm just hoping and praying that others will step in and make sure that I'm bailed out. But I'm sure I'm not talking to anybody in here this morning who would feel like that. Or those of us who would place our faith in the government, in the stock markets, in the promise of an inheritance, in our savings account, all are good, but where is your source? We have to find our faith in the one who called us and has the power to keep us. Or else otherwise we will chase every opportunity, every get rich quick scheme, everything we think that will cause us to build a foundation under our lives, but in testing times will shake and fall. In all this stuff of believing that we have a God who loves us and keeps us and values us and calls us sons and daughters does not mean that you and I will miss or not go through hardship. Hello, word of encouragement. You may and will face hardship. Yes. And how you face those hardships and how you come through the other side will determine your life. Yes. Your life is determined how we set that up. 1 Kings 17, verse 1 says this, "Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe of Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there will neither be dew nor rain, rain these years except by my word.'" Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe. Where's Tishbe? Don't know. What's a Tishbe? I don't know. But there was Elijah, the man who was making a declaration, but the declaration stands like this. He says, "As the Lord God lives, before whom I stand." You better know where your position is going to be in the days to come. Amen. Elijah said, "I stand before the living God." Scripture turns around and says that when you and I understand our position, we are already seated with Him in heavenly places. You better know your position. But the declaration that He made to a land for 3 years brought everybody into despair, including Himself. It wasn't just look at this great man Elijah. Look at what the scripture said. The troublemaker. He was a troublemaker when he declared the word of God. And what it did to him when he brought that word, he found himself at the brook of Cherith. So he's on the run. He's living in the wilderness. He's being fed by ravens. The scavenger dirty bird is bringing him food. It's almost like a rat dragging something out of the sewers and propping it on your front doorstep. He's fed by these dirty birds, the unclean birds. And then when God says, "Move from there and go and find the widow," the lowest group of people are widows and orphans. Go and scrounge from the lowest people you can find because you were the one who set the trouble in motion. Don't ever say you don't go through some stuff. Because God knows what He's doing. Everything of what was Him was stripped away so that the glory of God could be brought to a nation. We seem to think sometimes these are just stories from back then. But this is the same God who doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. There are things that when things get dark gives you and I the opportunity to shine. But I might have a rumbly belly. I might have an empty bank account. But I still know the source of the provision. I still know the one. It would be so easy for me. So easy for me this morning. And I listed bits of building an ecosystem inside the Dream Center, of causing us to understand some things. Understanding the season, recognition of an economic slowdown producing uncertainty in the marketplace, breaking the cycle of debt, the exposing of bad practice both in and out of the kingdom of God, the emergence of kingdom finance ministers, of Josephs, of Daniels, of leadership transformation. There is the question, is there more like you in your workplace? The local church being in the vanguard of community transformation and being a hub of hope. The taking care of our own and urgent needs fund. The Macedonian church model, taking care of widows and orphans, building the pattern of everyone must be taught to contribute. Teach the thief to steal no longer. All of these things are all in place that we could have brought this morning. All of them fit into that bracket of don't go down to Egypt, and this is how we can make sure we underpin ourselves. But then the Holy Ghost says no, because He knows what He's doing. I'd use that term because it's a term we're using at the moment and we're springing around. It's part of our vocabulary, the ecosystem. And I was looking at the ecosystems and the ecosystem of the Dream Center. And the Holy Ghost turned around and said, "Phil, focus on the main thing." So I said, "Holy Ghost, what is that?" He said, "If you fix this ecosystem works. But you're trying to fix this ecosystem with this being out of alignment." So if this morning, if we take what the Holy Ghost has already been saying, that there is a place of drinking, there's a place of refreshing, there's a place of renewing, where you stood, where you sat, who you listened to, all those things we've already heard, The sand of time's running out. There's last orders. It's time to address our ecosystem. Let he who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. Philippians 2, 12 and 13 says this, "Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." So God is working in us so that his works in us can be worked out of us. For his good pleasure. Yes? Amen. Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." So the power of God is at work within us to work through us for his glory and purpose. Is that two scriptures? Have we just put that together? I didn't just go nuts then, did I? So understand the line and the lineage of that. The Godhead is living in you. It's working and moving in you. And by his mighty power, he's looking to produce a distinct life. The end result is your life and my life that reflects him and bring glory to the Father. Am I still being biblical?
Yes.
So that ecosystem has to be addressed to make that a reality. You and I are to cultivate a life and work out what God is working in. You have to cultivate a life. Oh, I'll say it again. You have to work out and you have to cultivate your life. Stop waiting for the Holy Ghost to meet you on Sunday morning to do something and you walk out different. You only walk out different when you cultivate something different. You and I have to take a different kind of responsibility. One of the biggest revelations I had was a couple of years ago when I understood this. Jesus, I'm in Christ 100% because it's his choice. So when I'm born again by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and I'm a new creation, I am made part of him 100%. How much he's part of me is my choice. All my life, Lord, take over. So if I'm actually standing here this morning and making a declaration of all my life takes over, means that what percentage am I playing with? So if I'm looking at a percentage this morning, I'm saying, God, take over. Did he only have 10% and there's 90 to take? Am I at 50% and he's got to take the rest? Am I at 98 and there's only two? Only you know. Only you know, but when you make that declaration, I am telling you this morning, because I was in a place yesterday where I'm thinking some of the things I'm going to declare today that I believe you're saying are extremely dangerous statements. You made an extremely dangerous statement this morning when you declared before the living God, all my life, God, take over. So when the Holy Ghost arrests you this week, stop looking over your shoulder for someone to blame because it came out of your mouth. Amen. When the Holy Ghost says, Eric, put that down, you can't suddenly get into a debate as to why you should hold it, because you were the one who stood there and said, all my life, Lord, take over. Right, Eric, get rid of that. But I don't want to let that bit go. Well, keep your mouth shut. You know what scripture says? Don't make a rash vow. And we go, oh, I'm not making a rash vow. I didn't just sign my house over to the church. No, but your rash vow is all my life, Lord, take over. And whatever gets in the way, remove. Because he has a habit of listening to what you say and then acting on it. Do you know that's pretty mad? God listens to what you say and then he acts on it. It says in about Egypt and he says about the Israelites, and they got what they did responding to the words they said. The words we speak are life and death. There is power in the tongue. Amen. Amen. But we're making a different declaration. I'm going to say something to set something up, then I can move to where I want to go. Is that all right? In Phil's craziness, allow me just to set something up because I think it'll help us. We've just said that we're supposed to cultivate a life. Yes?
Yeah.
So go back to original patterns. God is a God of patterns and blueprints. If we've learned anything from Pastor Tony and anything over the years, God is a God of patterns and blueprints. Is that right?
Yep.
Patterns, principles, blueprints, protocols. Is there any more P's we've got in there? Yep. Peter's, Paul's, processes. Anything that begins with a P, it's in. But it's all about patterns, principles, blueprints, which is not a B. It's not a P, it's a B, but if you take part of it off, it'll look like it. Don't matter. Back to where we are. Adam was created and set in the garden to cultivate it and expand it. It is so easy to think in our minds that the earth was the Garden of Eden. God created a garden and set it in Eden. And the reason that we know that that didn't fill the whole world is because when Adam and Eve fell, they were put outside of it. So it had a boundary. But the word to Adam was, I'm putting you in a place, cultivate it and expand it. Okay? Does that make sense? Genesis 1, 27, 28 says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed him, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on them. Genesis 2, 15 says this. The Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. So Genesis 1 is, I'm putting you somewhere to subdue, to expand, and to have dominion. That place becomes the garden, and he is to work it and take care of it. Point number one, and have a word with yourself. One of the famous statements of Phil that might be on his gravestone, along with the other 3 million, of have a word with yourself. God never ever created or called a lazy man. I'll say it again. God never called or created a lazy man. He put the man in the garden with a purpose to work. Work it and take care of it. I know you hate me. I know there'll be those people spit at me. I'll be stoned on the way out. If you've not got a job, why haven't you got a job? I'll just let that tumbleweed pass us by. We are not to be kept by society. We are not to be kept by the government. If we can work, we should work. Amen. And the people of God said,
amen.
If I can't work, if I haven't got the ability to work, if I've got something where I have a medical condition, or there's something that stops me from being in work at this time, fine, then that's what we're for. We cater for that. Our nation is set up that way. But if I just sit at home watching Bargain Hunt, Homes Under the Hammer, and Dickinson's Real Deal, I know what's on because I phoned Ange at certain times of the day and she'll say, I'm watching Real. There is the part that where we can work, our very nature and the God nature that we carry is to be workers and co-laborers. Amen. So we see that the work of the Father set him in place. We see that in Genesis 2, it's Jesus who moves because it's the Lord God, speaking of two different characters, called him. You and I should be a people who smell like a field the Lord has blessed. That when I move to where he is, when I let go of what I am, when he starts to work in me, the gardener who prunes the bits that bear no fruit, I smell and look like a field that the Lord has blessed. You don't look like an overgrown garden. Have you seen it, these people, when they say, you live on a street and everybody's garden's completely manicured and it's perfect and the guy's out twice a week making sure his lawn's done and all the weeds are out and they look pristine, absolutely pristine. And then there's one house in the middle hedges overgrown, there's weeds everywhere, you can't get the gate open, there's all that kind of stuff. And what they say is that one house will reduce the value of that entire street by 10%. You go, what? Because when your life's in order, there is a value to you and you smell like a field the Lord has blessed. We love the parable of the sower, and it turns around and says that where the seed fell, it's 30-fold. Then it's... Is it? You've never read scripture then. It's 30-fold. Then there's 60-fold. Then there is the 100-fold. And we love that as we increase. But then you need to read Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, saying of the same parable, there is 100-fold. There is 60-fold and there is 30-fold. Your life can have diminishing returns as well as having the ability to increase. It all depends who you're letting work on your garden. 30, 60, 100 we love. And in the same year, he planted and the Lord returned 100-fold. Oh, but there was 100, then there was 60, then there was 30. The word came this morning. The sand of time is running out. But it's not too late to change. My God, hello! I said it's not too late to change. Phil, it's not too late to change. Angie, it's not too late. Well, some of us, it's not too late to change. We're getting to the place of moving through. So I want to talk about one dimension this morning. Of the ecosystem of you. I could easily talk about the power of the word, but I'm not. The key of prayer and fasting in your life, I'm not. The key of intercession, I'm not. The key of David, I'm not. The key of worship, I'm not. I know what you're thinking, what's left? The key, and I believe what is so key to us this morning and so important, is developing the relationship with the Holy Ghost. That if I bring that element into my life, the ecosystem will find the balance it needs and you and I will start to flourish like a well-watered garden. The whole thing about the Holy Ghost and charismania is we kind of thought it was all about gifts. It was all about prophecy. It was all about running around, falling down, rolling over, making funny noises, the Toronto blessing. And we pushed the dimension of what the Holy Ghost was to us and we've left what his role is. The Holy Spirit, not it, not him, not a thing, not Mr. Invisible. He is the person of the Holy Spirit. The two verses we read in Genesis were key. God made man, Father. The Lord God formed Jesus. There is nothing in Genesis before the fall that has the role of the Holy Ghost, apart from the Holy Spirit was hovering over the surface of the deep. And he moved when God spoke. So he didn't do anything until he gets the word of God. That when God said, let there be, the Holy Ghost moves into action. But his role in the life of man has not been fulfilled. It's waiting for the promise of the Father. And what was the promise of the Father? Wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is the Holy Ghost. And we see all the way through the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we'll see the Spirit touch a life and then move out. Touch a life and then move out. What happened to you and I that was so distinct is that when Jesus died and rose again from the dead, the Holy Ghost came and remained. Think of all the patriarchs, these people of faith, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, Daniel, put any name in, they didn't have the Holy Ghost like you and I have. But we've become so familiar with his workings, the way that he is, he just becomes completely powerless in your and my life because of the way that we set our ecosystem up. Does that mean you agree with me or you don't? Hey, I'm speaking to me more than I'm speaking to you this morning. It's the whole thing of how I will pull some things through. Two things I want to pick up on really quickly. Paul made a statement last week, and it's true, he read the scripture, didn't he, when he turns around and says, and that when you ask, you will receive from the Father what you ask for in prayer. Did he not? And he turned around and said, a life that you find in the presence can be measured by the answer to prayer. Is that true?
Yeah.
It's yes and a no. Because sometimes you don't always get what you pray for. And sometimes God allows you to go through some stuff that when you're praying for a way out, you still don't get the way out. Because God has to work some things in you and through you. But I want to get to the place in the Holy Ghost. Jesus turns around and says to the disciples, when you ask, God will hear and you will get. I want to get to the dimension of the Spirit. Because when I'm in the dimension of the Spirit from Isaiah, it says, and it shall come to pass. Which means it's on its way, is it not? So it's a reality to us that says, before they call, I will answer. Boom! Before or while they're speaking, I will yet hear you. Hello? Before you even ask, when I'm lined in the right place, God is already moving on your and my behalf. Hello? Is looking to move on your and my behalf even before I speak. You know why? Because when you read, the Holy Ghost understands the groanings and your internal struggle in your heart that you haven't even got words for. When you've not even got words, the Holy Ghost is already moving on your behalf. He's bringing it into the Father's presence. Jesus is already interceding with it for us. The Holy Ghost is interceding and saying, Father, Helen said this, but what she really meant was this. That your words and your heart don't always line up, but the Holy Ghost is moving on your behalf. Yeah. Pastor Tony did a brilliant for a couple of weeks when he was talking about the development of kindness. Yeah. Yes? And I can see that when you came in this morning, Greta was, be kind, was it right, on the front? So she's got on a t-shirt there, be kind. It's great. There is a move across the world at the moment called the kindness move. Yes. Where you'll see it and you'll say, I might have been a bit of a scumbag here in Tembe, but be kind. So what I'm asking for is mercy from this side, even though I treat you rubbish, I expect a different response. But the issue is there is natural kindness. Yes. But kindness is a supernatural dimension.
Amen.
Oh, are you sure, Phil? Yes, I'm sure. It's a supernatural dimension. I can actually go outside and go, I'm going to be kind today. I'm going to treat my fellow man the way I should be looked or feel that they should be treated. But yet, if we just break it down, be really simple as what the Word of God says. Galatians 5, you already know what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. How many fruits of the Spirit are there? One. The fruit of the Spirit, singular. That when I deal with Him in my life, He says, I can't help but develop kindness and long-suffering and love. I don't suddenly go, I excel. Look at me, I'm excelling in kindness, but the rest of them fell off my tree. If I am part of the vine, as Paul said, and it's bearing fruit because it's healthy, I cannot and you cannot help but show and act upon those nine aspects of what I find in my life that will be born by the Spirit of God. I'm going to go out today and I'm going to be more loving. Have a good try. Just have a good try till someone cheeses you off so they don't treat you right. They cut you off in the car. You do everything that goes down and you're biting your lip. But is that dimension that when I meet with Him and all my life you start to take over? Ho ho! This ecosystem of Phil starts to change. I have told you so many times, and I am so glad, not as glad as you are, that you've not always met the old Phil. Sometimes the old Phil will call in for a visit. He'll just call up and say hello sometimes. But be so thankful that you have new Phil, because I'm really glad I'm meeting the new you. But inside of us, if we allow the Holy Ghost to start to make and change us as he wills, this is going to explode. But until he's got this, don't bother about that. This needs to change so much. The Holy Ghost is looking to change you and upgrade you. He's looking to deal with your nature, your character, your attitude, your altitude, your wisdom, your abilities, and the solutions. He's looking to do all of that inside of you, but I must learn and you must learn to address him differently. He must be addressed, differently. I wrote a note on my notes that said this: he has been hidden in plain sight. Because we're putting all of our hope in systems and plans, and if we just do this, and we'll work around, and this is new, what's happening in the church, and we do different elements, he is hidden in plain sight. And he has been addressing those who've been around church for a while. I'll just say a few things, and he's always been addressing the same thing, it's just been called different. So he's called and been looking at the one-man company. He's the same one who's hidden in plain sight when we talked about the 42nd generation. He's the one hidden in plain sight when we said we are pilgrims on the highway to Zion. He's the one who talked about the Joshua generation. All hidden in plain sight. All wanting the same outcome. That you and I take hold of him, that the mature son is born, that Christ is revealed, that we bring glory to the Father, that which I fight to yield and not give over to him is laid to one side, that a new man and woman is birthed, a new man and woman that can hold their position wherever they are, because what's seen is the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost, the one who introduced me into all truth, the one who reveals the Christ, the one who unfolds the world, the Word, the one who sets the Father in place, the one who shows my position, the one who gives me revelation, the one who gives me understanding, the one who lets me know I'm accepted, the one who lets me know I'm in the Beloved, the one who intercedes for me, the one who covers me, the one who cares for me, the one who helps to call me. All these things are what are looking to be revealed in you and through you. And we go, well, what we just want, I just want the presence. I'm not diminishing that in any way, shape or form. But you better get lined up if you want the presence. Do you know that? It is so easy to misconstrue God consciousness for the presence of God. You being aware that God is around isn't the presence of God. It's you're aware that God is around. And we, oh, wasn't the presence wonderful? No, you actually woke up this morning and realized God was in the house. That didn't mean you were where he was. It meant God was in the house. Do you know, have you had it? You walk into somebody's house and you went, have you had curry this week? There can be a residue that's been left. You never got to taste it. But there's a residue in the atmosphere that lets you know something has been in that place, even though you didn't taste it. There is a God consciousness. The whole thing as well about this God consciousness, it's an internal dynamic. It's a journey I make to him. It's not external. It's not something that can be sprayed on. It's not something I can fake. That whole thing of the presence and how God is working on the inside of me changes. In the days ahead and from now, you and I need to know who the source of our supply is. Because when I know who the source is, I'll know where the manna is. I'll know where the water to draw from the rock is. I'll know where the shelter from the heat of the day is. I'll know where the light that shines in the darkness is. I'll know where my confidence and security is when I learn to live under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. And the only way you will get that is by the Holy Ghost. Oh, well, Phil, we get it from the Word. And who do you think reveals the Word? And who do you think makes it, instead of being black and white letters on a page, a reality revelation that you move from a logos to a rhema word. That becomes so real to you, that word that you can take to the bank, that place where you stop praying. Hear what I'm saying. I'm going to make a statement now. I'll clarify it later, but I can't go into it now because it's too much detail. And I know I'm making a rod for my own back, but it's okay. Sometimes we go to prayer and say, God, go and fix this, when really we should be asking, why is it not working when the word has been revealed? So if God turns around and says, I am open this door, you walk through it, and then the door doesn't open, I don't need to keep going back and saying, Lord, you need to open the door. No, if the door's open, if I open the door and no man can shut it, why aren't you walking through? What is in the way? Yes, yes. That makes sense? So if I'm aligning my life and I'm looking to draw his presence, if I'm looking to draw his counsel, if I'm looking to cultivate a life that will move towards him, I'm not praying per se. I'm starting to turn and I say, my God, your word declares that I am found in your presence. Lord, your word declares that before I speak, you already answer. Does that mean we don't pray? No, it doesn't. I'm saying that we don't put everything on. Well, I prayed for 3 days and nothing changed. I moved to action. I took hold of the word. I declared, what is his judgments? What is his countenance? What is the prophetic word saying? My God, we declare again, the tender shoot attains sight. It will produce fruit. It's a prophetic word that we're declaring out. I'm not just praying and saying, oh Lord, shall we do something in Tameside? I have given you the word, now do it. It says of Moses that when they were before the Red Sea, quick illustration, Lord God, we've got the Egyptians behind us and a sea before us. What was God's response? What's in your hand? Yes. Oh Lord, I'm praying you to... What's in your hand? The solutions that we need sometimes have already been released to us. We need to stand in faith and move towards it. Lord, if this is what you're declaring, get out of the boat and walk. It's time to get out of the boat and walk. I don't have to pray, Lord, you say get out of the boat, but I want to see Wimpy Homes coming along and build a bridge that will take us from one side to the other. Then you have a docking station. Then I can get out onto the dock and I can make my way. When he says get out, we get out. It's the bits where we're learning to draw from him. Now, here's the key. I can start to cover this really quick. I've got another 5 pages of notes of how this unfolds. But the first thing that you and I need to understand, we need to settle in our own hearts, is that this kind of relationship is open and available to everyone. I'll say it again. This type of relationship is open and available to everyone. It's not for the super spiritual. It's not for a Benny Hinn or we're looking for the God Chasers movement. We're looking that you and I, on a daily basis, that when I start, even tomorrow morning when you get up and your prayer starts in the morning, my God, I gave you my vow yesterday, which was, Lord, what's not of me needs to go. I need you to start taking over. Holy Ghost, I need you to hold a different position in my life. Just watch how things start to change. And it's open to all of us. Every single one of us, we can move. But you and I have to build the necessary foundation building blocks on the inside to make that a reality. It's not wishful thinking. It's not a pipe dream. There is hard work, spiritual hard work ahead. Do you know, I know a lady at the minute whose husband is a bodybuilder, professional bodybuilder. And she did a year of bodybuilding, competition bodybuilding, nutritionist and fitness instructor and all that kind of stuff. And she said the hardest bit is not adding weight and adding muscle. It's stripping away what you don't need ready for competition day. Because the bodybuilder is at their weakest on the day of the event. Maybe they've not ate for 2 days. They drink very little. They take something, she told me, they take this certain chemical along with a liter of water where she said, I lost nearly 5 liters of fluid in 20 hours. Because they take the chemical and that's how they look so stripped away. Because you can't just do that with diet and exercise. There is chemicals that you take, which just... Below here is a fully formed muscular frame. I've just not taken the chemical. That's all. That's all. When we're working through. But it's coming to the place in your life and my life where we say, Holy Ghost, you need to do your work that strips away. And I'm reminded of what Pastor Tony said about stripping down the fat lady. Didn't say about the plane and they had to get it ready for takeoff. There's things that we need to put off and there's things we need to put on. That stripping away process does not come cheap. Hello? Yes. It does not come cheap. That means the cost is not to him. The cost is to you. Because he's willing to do the work, but you're the one who will pay for it. And how do you pay? Maybe that thing I would normally say yes to, I now learn to say no to. The things that I believe that were my right that I'm willing to let down. As I pursue him and I have a desire of pursuit. For those who've ever been in a relationship, do you remember those days when you were on the hunt? We'll call it that. I'll be friendly with it. When you were on the hunt and you were, maybe I saw Tembi from a distance and that was it. I wanted to put myself in the shop window, aftershave, shave, brush my teeth, deodorant, clean clothes. Have I had my banjo butty so there's all leg down the front of your t-shirt? And I'm presenting myself as Scallywag from down the street. I think she's saying my standards might be slightly higher than you. Would that be right? She's been very graceful to me this morning. She's got her best with Z. But the issue is when I'm trying to win and I'm trying to woo, I'm on my best behaviour. The compliments of, you look really nice this morning, John. And do you know what? We know that flattery is a sin, but we've all been guilty of it.
Yeah.
Does my bum look big in this? No, it's a chocolate that makes your bum look big, love. And we flatter to say, no, everything looks wonderful, until we become familiar. When she's going shopping in a bathrobe, dropping the kids off in pajamas that works around, he's laying on the sofa, feet up, remote control, love, get me a brew. When there was pursuit and there was desire, there was a looking for a level of intimacy that we were willing to pay the price of just that she looked at me, just that he looked at me. There's those things. I'm looking at an awful lot of blank faces. Did you ever romance any of you guys?
Oh, yes, we did.
Ah, but the question... No. John, excuse me. I'm going to save you. Yes, we do, Phil, is the answer.
No.
Oh, yeah. Because we still romance, John. We still do. It's the whole thing of that when I'm looking to pursue a relationship with him, I better find myself on my best behavior. He's not something I can pick up or put him down. It's something that we have to work towards. Now, I'm going to remind you of something this morning. I don't even know. If I go 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, COVID has messed up my global calendar. I can't remember when anything is anymore because of COVID. Kind of did something stupid to my calendar. Yes. Do you remember when Pastor Tony spent those months going over Song of Solomon?
Yes. Yes.
Do not awaken love before the time. Yes. This morning is not the time to say, take my life. When you decide tomorrow morning, you're changing. Because he's taking you serious. And when you say, I want a relationship with you in a completely different way, he's serious. And there's that outworking. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, I've not talked about when you find him, then I get all the gift in, then everything comes online, then I prophesy, then I'm full of wisdom. I'm finding him for him. And when I find him for him, again, go to the scripture. We use it out of context, but it's still right. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. Mm-hmm. What are we to ask for? The Holy Ghost, because it's the Holy Ghost who's got the answer to everything that we need. Amen. You ask amiss because you think the pay rise with your boss will help you pay your mortgage. But when I find him, he will give me the solutions that I need to set up. I might still need the pay rise, and I'll take it. I'm not going to fight you for it. But the issue is where I'm placing my priorities that were put down. Amen. We have to be the ones who are responsible for removing the barriers or the obstacles on this human plane so that we can learn to go higher. So we put off and we put on. Some things moving down. There's some things we have to lay down. And for most of us, do you know what I found what the biggest idol is? When I talk to people, I talk to myself. It isn't finance, it isn't Man United, it isn't City, it isn't the stuff. It's my opinion. Because when I'm willing to let go of the idol of my opinion and say, Holy Ghost, you're right and you know what's best for me. When I take that, that will allow this ecosystem to flourish. Amen. When I'm going to fight with him of everything he wants to do and say, that's where we're going to have conflict in different ways. I can't be in the place of this relationship being passive. I have to play my part as much as the Holy Ghost is playing his. He's the one who shows us how to be revealed. So he reveals the Father, he reveals the Son, he reveals himself without being mystic and weird. That we can talk about the Holy Spirit, we can talk about Christ, we can talk about the Father without sounding like a bunch of loons. And do you know how I know that? Because the darling of heaven came down and we have four books where Jesus spoke to every man in the street. He knew how to speak to the Pharisee, the prostitute, the tax collector, the children, the blind, the lame, the ones with hope, the ones who are hungry, the lepers, the woman in despair. He had words to speak to everyone. And never do you read scripture and look at the picture and go, "Plumbing heck, Jesus, you're weird there." I don't anyway. I might think, I'm not sure why you spat on the ground and rubbed it in his eye. That's for another day. But the words he spoke allowed him to be accessible to everyone because he was led and kept by the Holy Ghost. I'll cover in 5 minutes two boxes: communication and character. In the communication, we have to find a place that when Pastor Tony, and the reason I'm saying this, Pastor Tony said it this morning. He said, some might need to stand, you might need to kneel, you might need to do something, you might need to vocalize something. You and I need to find the place of communication where I feel completely secure at being able to say to him my fears, my failings, where I fell over, what's going good, what isn't going good, my hopes and aspirations. I have the communication that because something's inside of me, and she said to herself, and then the words came out, let it be unto me as you have said. There is a response back to the Holy Ghost where you and I have to learn. Please don't hear what I didn't say with what I did say. So when I said about prayer and when I said about before you speak, he's already heard you. I have to learn to commune. And in that communion is it isn't always with your shopping list. It's how I feel today. Why do I feel hopeless? Why do I feel like that's not going to happen? Lord, you set this before us. You said that me and my household would serve you. But why aren't they serving you, Lord? Help me, show me where my unbelief. Help me, show me what I can do different. Help me show and how, where I can build a bridge. Help and show me. It's a different place. But there's a communication of where he speaks to me about being a son and a joint heir and how we're loved and we're chosen and he wants to work with us and we're co-laborers, all of that side, but I need to be able to speak back to him as well. Do you remember what we've said in the past? That when we have a skeleton in the closet, it's really an upright coffin. The enemy always wants to keep us in the dark. If God already knows what I've done, what I've thought, what I've said, me hiding behind the sofa because you've been looking at porn for the last 2 hours, doesn't mean he doesn't know. So if I don't say it, it's not like it happened, Lord. It didn't happen because I've not said it. But when I come and say, Lord, I've got to plead the blood again. This is where I've fallen. This is where I've stripped over. This is where I've, Lord, I've abused our relationship again. I've scarred your heart, Lord. And think of what about him and not about you. The enemy always wants to keep it in the dark. My freedom is moving towards the light. And all of this is part and parcel of saying yes to the Holy Ghost. I'd like to think this is quite encouraging. Because this is something I can put in place tomorrow. And finally, let me just pick up on this one, integrity of character. The thing that many lack, I deal with a guy, somebody that Pastor Tony's in great relationship with, and was only having a conversation with me just a few weeks ago. And he said, Phil, one of the greatest things that's missing, especially in a generation that we find in the household of God, is a consistency to stay consistent. That if we can stay consistent, we'll get to the end. The issue is you're here today, gone tomorrow. I love you. I'm all for you. I'm passionate. Lord, have my life. But you can't talk to me all next week because the World Cup's on. It's the different bits where we find some elements. But this is a comment I wanted to make about the integrity of our character and how things work. A man once said, so we don't have to share names, a man once said, but we were in the conversation with the man. And the man had shared, and it was, you know, in the whole thing of confess your sins to one another or your failings. This was somebody, it'd been years ago, they've done something that was in their life. And it was something they said, but what the Holy Ghost revealed to me at that time in my life, I had not been evil. I'd been foolish. Because there is a buffer that when I'm walking with the Holy Ghost and he's building in my life and he's training and he's molding and he's shaping, I did something with all good intentions. But you know what they say, don't you? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. He was thinking, Lord, if I do this, I can use this stuff for your kingdom. But then found out that that maybe not necessarily been legal, and that tax break might not have been the best, and that if you carry on, the IRS might be tapping you on the shoulder. I was foolish. I wasn't evil. So when I'm looking at an integrity in my life, it's to say, my God, I'm laying myself before you, Holy Ghost. If there's things in me that need to realign, help me. Because it wasn't always my intention to be off course. I started something, and if it's gone awry, it's gone amiss, allow me to be brought back to centre. Allow the Christ to be formed. Allow the mature son to be seen. Allow my relationship and intimacy to go to a level that I've never seen. And when I do that, there will be wisdom. There will be intimacy. I'll start to worship from the throne room out. I'll know that my prayers are answered. I'll know that I'm valued. I know that I'm loved. It will be well with my soul and the one-man company, and they had all things in one accord, will become a natural outworking rather than saying, Dave, you've got to work with me. I've got to work with you, but I can't stand you. But you've got to work with me, and I've got to... There is something in his ecosystem and my ecosystem that is brought together in God that causes us to accomplish more than we ever thought we could. And all of this comes down to, and we are like trees planted. And where are you going to drink from? And the sands of time. Because the Holy Ghost has been saying, I am waiting for you to ask me. And then when you ask, you move towards me, and I will move towards you. This ecosystem gets fixed. This begins to change. We could say so much more. So much more. How to start, speaking in tongues, utterance, building the spirit man. All of those things can be added at a later date. But if I get to the place of saying, Holy Ghost, all my life take over, and I start with that, it is well with my soul. Amen. And it will be well with your soul. Amen. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Bless you. Let's stand to our feet. So there's two statements to finish with prayer. This is going to be the cap, bookends to our prayer. Is that all right? Number one, remember when we say about the Holy Ghost, that he's a he, that he's a member of the Godhead. Yes. Let me just scare you for a second. Ananias and Sapphira, you have lied to the Holy Spirit and you drop down dead. He's not something to play with. Have to know what you're signing up for. Holy Ghost, you're the one has the power of life. You want to work with me. You want to change me. But don't be flippant with him. And that when your life and my life are built around him, the Father and the Son, then the Spirit and the Bride say,
Amen.
Come. We become the Bride. The darling of heaven is waiting for. Father, we just pray right now. We thank you, Lord, for your word, which you've shared with us today. I thank you, Lord God, Father, for your utterance this morning. I thank you, Lord God, for the word of drawing from the well. I thank you, Lord God, for the word of time, of saying, Lord God, of that sand that was shifting that timer. The last orders, Lord God. Father, I pray that as we stand before you as a house this morning, Lord God, we pray as we look to align ourselves with your word again. We say yes and amen. And Father, I pray that, Lord God, will be arrested in our spirits. That, Lord God, even going back to the same old, Lord God, you will break it off. That, Lord, you will arrest us at some of the things we watch, some of the things we read, some of the places where we stand, where we sit, where we find ourselves. But, Lord God, we are reminded again this morning, we will be like trees that are planted by streams of living water. And whatever we do will prosper. Lord God, I pray the blessing of heaven. I pray for the prosperity of your word, the prosperity of your life, the prosperity of peace, of hope and joy to be found and resting on your people of God. Holy Ghost, I pray that even as we sleep, a fresh filling, a fresh touch, and draw us into a new place. Draw us into the secret place we play this week, Lord, as you take us from one degree of glory to another. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you.